We want to pray for Ruthie having surgery on Tuesday. And we want to pray for Doug. We can come back there, Doug, if you feel better. Sit. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is our healer and our peace and our mercy and our grace. And Father, I pray that you will touch Ruthie at this time. I pray, God, that you'll help her, Lord, on this surgery on Tuesday. I pray, Lord God, that you would so move and so bless and so touch. And Lord, we believe even right now that you can heal this knee. And Lord God, I pray that you will touch and let your power move through this body, Lord God. We pray from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And Lord, we will praise you. We will glorify you. We will magnify you. And we will lift up that precious name. And Lord God, I pray right now that you will continue to do the work. That you will do the work, Lord, that needs to be done. And we pray it in Jesus' holy and matchless name. Amen and amen. Lord, what are you having something done? I don't know if everybody heard that, but Doug had a biopsy, and oh, you're having one because possible his heart is rejecting. So would you stretch out your hands? Oh, ma. Jesus. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Jesus. Thank you. Oh, Lord God, right now, in Jesus' name. Lord God, right now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, let your power move, your healing touch, Lord God, move. In Jesus, Lord. Glory. Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray it. Jesus, we thank you. Yes, Lord God, completely healed, completely renewed, in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go before Him, Lord, we pray. Go before Him, Lord, we pray. Jesus. Yes, Lord God, give Him the strength, give Him the peace, Lord, we pray. That only you can give. Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless you. know there's other needs too. If you have a need, would you just raise your hand? We want to pray for those. Yes, yes. Father, we come to you, and Lord, you know these hands have been raised. And Lord God, we just pray right now that you will touch each and every one of them. Lord, we pray that you will help. Lord, you know exactly what they are. And Father, we just pray for your intervention. We pray for your touch. We thank you for all. We thank you for your healing. Lord God, we continue to pray, Lord, for the ones that are in the hospital, the ones we've been praying for, that you would so move and minister to them. Help them, Lord God, we pray. And Father, we will give you the praise. We will give you the glory. We will thank you for everything that you're doing in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I knew if I got up here, I'd forget that book. And you know what happened? I forgot the book. We love the Lord. And we welcome you. Welcome our phone church people and our live stream. This is a great day in the Lord, right? We're going to be looking at Psalm 84. We're not going to read it, but we want to look at it today. We all have our favorite places to walk. It might be the sidewalks in the neighborhood. It might be by a stream of water. Or on a trail in the mountains, or maybe along the beach. But Psalm 84 finds us far removed from the attractiveness of the places we would walk. But it's written, Psalm 84 is written by a walker. As Dr. George Woods said, it is written by a psalmist on a journey who looks through the window of memory and anticipation also at life within the temple courts. His present path finds him in the valley that is called Baca. Found in verse 6, a word thought to indicate trees or even shrubs that grows in dry places. It is even what we would consider like the Valley of Poplars and the Valley of Baca. Geographically and psychologically, it's really the Valley of Hardship and it's a Valley of Weeping. And a long climb up and out of Mount Zion, where stands, of course, the temple. This is a psalm of the temple. It is unknown who the author is. It is thought, of course, that this psalm was written by King David while he was in exile from Jerusalem during the rebellion of his son Absalom. If that be the case, it reveals much about King David's heart. He was a man who loved the house of the Lord. We understand that through scriptures. And also, to David, there was no place on this earth so special as that one place that the Lord had chosen to place his name and also to demonstrate his power and his presence. So you see, for David, the tabernacle was a place that he desired to be. To David, the tabernacle was considered a very safe place, a place of solitude, a place of just being alone, a place of peace, a place of freedom. The problem wasn't, of course, the tabernacle. That wasn't the problem at all. It was the Valley of Baca. He knew that Baca remained in his way. He understood that. He couldn't go around it. The same is true about you and I. fake lies in our way. We can't go around it. And we must not stay in it either. You see, valleys by their very nature are considered to be very depressed places. They enhance our longing to be somewhere else. Who would not prefer the freedom, of course, from tension and security of God's courts over the hardship and the weeping? So why cry from the deepest need if you're already in God's presence? Why? Other known is on the mountaintop. In Psalms 84, verses 1, of course, we understand that and we see it. Baca was not a geographic place located somewhere in the Holy Land. Not at all. It is a specific word that would describe a place of suffering and describe a place of sorrow. So the phrase then refers figuratively to an experience of sorrow turned into joy. That's what Baca would mean. So before we get to joy, we have to be reminded of something, and we have to be reminded that don't be discouraged by your difficulties. And we all face them. As much as we don't like to admit it, there have been times of sorrow, and there have been times also of weeping. And there will be other times of sorrow, and there's going to be weeping. Job said this, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Because of the fall in the Garden of Eden by our original parents, Job chapter 14 and verse 1 is true. So the reason why some people, think about this, don't get this is because of the theology that we have nowadays, which we can call maybe a sensational language, or other known as a razzle-dazzle. Intended to amaze and also intended to surprise. One man said, it goes like this. If you love God and trust Jesus and read your Bible and live in obedience, you'll always be happy. You'll be always prosperous. You will always be successful. Now listen, if you love God and trust Jesus and read your Bible and live in obedience, you'll always be happy, you'll be prosperous, and you will be successful. That's what they say. You will be healthy, your spouse will be beautiful and handsome, your children will be obedient, your house will be big, your car fast, your money secure. And that, let me tell you very quickly, is a big lie. No one is exempt from the valley of sorrow. And no one escapes the tour of the valley. So why are valleys so hard? Why are they so hard? I don't mean a valley in which one totally disobeys God. And that's why they're there. You know those valleys that come when it seems like you're doing everything by the book, the Bible. Oh, and we don't know why. We can't explain it of what happens and why we're going through it. This is what makes our time in our valley so difficult, and it makes it so dark. Because we don't understand them. We don't understand the valleys in that we go through. We can't explain them. If we understood why we had to go through the valley, it would be easier to take. As 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, tells us, "For now we see through a glass darkly." Wow. We don't see, as what that is telling us, we don't see the whole picture, right? But God does. There is a great mystery to the things of God. Some get stuck in the valley, having a tendency to set up camp there and to stay a while. Don't be distracted. Do not be distracted by your destination. Don't forget where you are going. The point that I believe is this, is we are just passing through. You know, if there's people that want to stay here, let them stay here. I won't get out of here. The psalmist knew his destination. He knew where he was going. At that moment, he might have been in the valley of Baca, a valley of weeping, a valley of sorrow, a valley of tears. But one day, he knew he would be walking out of that valley. Wow. And that's what we really prayed here today, of what Ruthie going through and Doug and everything. We're looking to see them come out of the valley. Out of it. Victoriously. Is it possible that we have gotten our eyes off of our destination? Is it possible? Remember when the church was excited about our destination. Heaven, happy home above. You remember we used to sing about heaven, hallelujah, when we all get to heaven. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Where we were going, we were excited about our purpose of being here. We would sing about it. Wow, the different times that we used to sing, I'm bound for the promised land. When we all get to heaven, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Won't it be wonderful there? We would sing about the sweet by and by. Why? Why would we do that? Because we need to limber up our vocal cords? Because we wanted to say to the next person beside us, boy, that guy knows really how, or that lady knows how to sing. That's not it, because we know where our destination is. We are passing through to a city where sin and sickness, sorrow is going to be no more. My fear is there are ones, though, who have pitched their tents in this world, which means they want to stay here for the duration. I have no desire to stay, right? As Christians, we don't have no desire to stay. I'm just passing through this life. This world is not my home. I have a home prepared by the saints of God just over in the glory land. If you know your destination, it will help you to be able to endure trials, hardships, and also misfortunes. Psalms 30 and verse 5, it says this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I can hear it, church. I can hear it already. Hey, Job, how do you like it on the ash heap? Well, I don't like it that much at all. But I'm just passing through. Good old Job says, I'm just passing through, though. For I know my Redeemer liveth, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. How about Daniel? Is thy God able to deliver thee from the lions, Daniel? Well, yes. But if he chooses not to, it doesn't really matter. Because I'm just passing through. Wow. How about the three Hebrew children? There's guys that the fire is so hot. What's going on to happen? Well, it doesn't really matter, right? Because we're just passing through. Here is what happens with some. They find themselves in a temporary valley. They stop praying, they stop reading the Bible, they stop going to church, they stop God altogether. But just until things get better. Let me ask you a question. Will that work on your job? Think about it. You call in and you say, I'm down. When I'm better, I will come in. I'm just down, I'm discouraged, and when I get better, you know what happens? They never get better. But when I get better, I'll come in. I'm sure your boss will say, God bless you. We will call the company Grapevine Chain, which is AKA the prayer chain. And now remember, just remember, the boss is saying, now just remember, we love you. Will that work? How about in the family? I don't feel like being a mom or a dad today. Maybe next month I'll feel like it. I have found out the best thing for me to do when I don't know what to do is to keep doing what I know to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to stay connected to the family of God. I'm going to continue to tithe. I'm going to continue to give offerings and alms until I get out of this valley because I know I am just passing through. Glory. Psalm 84, when the person in Psalm 84 found himself in the valley of sorrow, he did something that was very unusual. The scripture tells us in Psalm 84, what he did was he dug a well. While I am here on this earth, I might as well dig a well. Since I am in this trial, let's turn it into a blessing. That'll be a black eye to the devil if we turn that their trial into a blessing. You see, the pilgrim makes the dry, barren Baca a place of springs. Church, let me tell you something. Dig around in your desert and it will yield resources to refresh you. Dig around a little bit. Stir up that gift that is within you by the laying on of hands. And God will add to your efforts rain from above. Your discovered water in the place you wept. God sends rain where you shed tears. And when you're done with Baca, it's no longer going to be hard, barren, dry ground. God worked with you to make the oasis in your personal desert. So keep on keeping on. Keep on working. Keep laboring. One day your Baca will be behind you. And according to Psalms 84 verses 10 and 11, good things lie ahead for you. You see, in your Baca, your logic, theory, reasoning can become honestly disturbing. You can be tempted to make it a place of bitterness, despair. You might even find yourself wanting to give up. But this psalm, Psalm 84, tells us God's people changed Baca before they left it. Wow. Because Baca becomes a blessing and not a curse. In closing, I want you to keep in mind, dig a well the first time through your valley. And the next time through, the rain's going to fill it. Many are the valleys of God's people. Few are the wells. Don't waste the wells that you dig. Don't waste them. Dig out a blessing in the place of barrenness. We are drinking from the wells. The saints of God, the believers, God's church dug before us. There have been people that have been gone before us. And we're reaping some of those wells. Paul dug some wells in his valleys, in prison, in the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and Philemon. He did. John Bunyan was arrested at age 32 for conducting religious meetings without permission of the state church. For 12 years, he stayed in jail. But there, he dug wells in the jail. There in that Bedford jail, he wrote 9 books, including Pilgrim's Progress. And by the end of his life, he had published 60 books before he died at the age of 60. What's important is not what you go through, but it's what you leave behind. We can make a well. In other words, in the midst of the desert, the dryness, the barren, we can plant a garden. And many times the only lights that shine in the day's darkness world are godly individuals who, when faced with all kinds of adversities, instead of giving up, they dig a well. These are people that Satan cannot stop. Being great in God does not mean being exempt from disturbances and being exempt from hindrances. Not at all. But dig a well. What's your valley of Baca? What is it? What's your sorrow? At this time, we're going to ask our graduates to gather. And we're going to have a graduation. Shall we stand? Thank you. You may be seated. I wish to congratulate you on your graduation success. May God's graces be with you as you step ahead towards your dreams. God has a special plan for you. May the Bible always be your guide. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. For God will be with you wherever you go. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Anything is possible when you believe in God and in yourself. Step into the future with a prayer in your heart, and you'll soon reap the fruits of your efforts and also your hard work. Your success is well deserved. Graduation is just the beginning of the bright path that filled your dreams and your hopes. Graduation is a time of paradox, excitement combined with fear. Beginnings blurred with endings, plans riddled with uncertainties. But it's only the start of the roller coaster called adulthood. four pieces of advice that can support and also equip you in your life as you venture into the world is this. Number one, plans and dreams change. Plans and dreams change, but God doesn't. A diploma or a degree is optional, but integrity and maturity aren't. Number three, the world will tug at your heart, so stand firm. And number four, keep God first, always. Keep God first. So Savannah and Brittany, congratulations on your great success. And may God's love and guidance be with you always. Brittany Berman has graduated from Liberty University, honors, National Honor Society, and with special honors, a degree, associate in paralegal studies, future plans, helps people in the legal field. That's what she wants. Savannah honors National Fine Arts Festival and Distinguished Honor Roll from Northern York High School. Future plans is the fall of 2021, Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. Shall we give them a hand? So we say congratulations. Shall we stand? Father, we pray your touch. We pray, God, that your help upon these young ladies. And Father, I pray that you'll help them. Lord, you know the path for their future. And Lord, I pray that you will be with them. I pray especially, Lord God, they will never, never forget you. But their eye is constantly on Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'll meet their every need. I pray, God, that you will touch them. I pray, Lord God, that you will give them exactly what they are in need of. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bless their families. Father, we love you and we thank you for it all. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We want to let the graduates go first. When Bear hit the... Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a great day.